Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Let me read this scripture to you. I believe God gave me this, and I just saw this as the church in this nation. Who has stirred up this king? Who is stirring up us? Who is stirring up this king? Who meets victory at every step? Who meets victory at every step? Who indeed but the Lord? He gives us victory over many nations and permits us to trample their kings underfoot. He puts entire armies to the sword. He scatters them in the wind with the bow. He chases them away and goes on safely, though he is walking over unfamiliar ground. Who has done such mighty deeds, directing the affairs of the human race as each new generation marches by? It is I, the Lord, the first and the last. I alone am he. Okay. The Lord, the first and the last, directing the church, his church, his bride, across the nations. This new generation of church, this new season that we're in, he is directing. I just took real confidence from encouragement from that, you know. He is directing us. He watches over us. It says that we trample, walk over the enemy. Amen. We chase them away. We walk safely. Amen. Over unfamiliar Amen. Territory. Amen. Okay, God wants to the church, his church, to walk over unfamiliar territory. If we're still doing things the same way as we have been for 30 years, things are going to change. Okay? And it starts, obviously, with the leadership and works its way down. But all of us, he directs all of us. He watches over us. That it's safe, but it's victorious. This is an amazing promise. He is stirring up the church. And Pastor Clive was speaking a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I know he mentioned about the shipping lanes, that the church in this nation comes out of being moored in the harbour, okay, of life, out into the shipping lanes. And Britain, you know, we have probably one of the busiest shipping lanes in the world, if not the busiest, you know, our English Channel. And it's dangerous, but we've got to get out there. We've got to get out there. And the different shipping lanes that he's going to bring to each one of us that he wants us to get involved in, which will be unfamiliar to us. And he's dealing with me, you know, in that very area. In Joshua, and I'm going to read some scriptures, but I've got quite a few, so I'm going to just tell you what they are, and then I'm going to skip through them. Find Joshua. In Joshua 5, now this is exciting. Joshua 5, verse 2. This is the new generation, Joshua taking the next generation into the promised land. Okay? And God said to Joshua, you know what I love about the Old Testament? Well, actually, it's all through Scripture. God commands the leader, doesn't request of him, he commands him. Yeah. The leader commands the people. He doesn't request them. And they respond. Yes. Are you ready for this? Joshua 5, verse 2. The Lord told Joshua, use knives of flint to make the Israelites a circumcised people again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel. Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to bear arms when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. So, verse 7, Joshua circumcised their sons who had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land, those who had grown up to take their father's places. Okay, they're going in to take the promised land. They're going in to fight. And circumcision for the Israelites was them being set apart. set apart. They, people around all the nations knew they were God's people. They were set apart. Okay? The next generation hadn't been circumcised. They had to be. They had to be set apart for God before they could go in and face their enemies. Okay? And we are a new generation. God is circumcising our hearts. And the little boys go, whew. The hearts, not physically for us. He's circumcising our hearts as a church to get us ready to go in, to go in. And this whole, you know, the words the last couple of weeks from Pastor Clive have been about devotion. Devotion to God. And I believe God is asking of us a depth and a reality in our walk, our Christianity, that I've not been before. This is challenging. It's challenging. It's His will, not mine. It's His life, not mine. Okay, let's turn to Acts 2 then. This is where we're in this morning. I was praying, asking the Lord what He wanted me to speak about, and He took me straight here, Acts 2. He's getting us fit for purpose. In every area of our lives, He's challenging us to be fit for purpose in our hearts and our response to Him. Acts 2, verse 41. If I start just before that, Peter's preaching. The Holy Spirit's come upon the believers, and he's preaching to the crowd. Verse 40, he says, Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this generation that has gone astray. And says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. They joined with the other believers and devoted themselves. Say, devoted themselves. To the apostles' teaching. If you devote yourself this morning to the teaching, it just makes life so much easier. To the apostles' teaching, devoted themselves to fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together constantly. Met together constantly. And shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. Met in homes for the Lord's Supper. And shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill, favour of all the people around them. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. In Acts 4, verse 32, all the believers were of one heart and mind, and they all felt what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had, and the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's great favour was upon them all. There was no poverty among them, because people who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Devoted to God. Devotion speaks of desire. You can't make somebody devoted. It's got to be an attitude of heart. We desire God and what He wants. So we devote ourselves. It's like being devoted to the person that you're married to, the person that you love. You're devoted to your kids. Through thick and thin, it's devotion. It's the desire. And devotion speaks of spontaneity. Okay? Voluntary. Voluntary decision of our hearts. Loyal. Loving, giving, generous. We're generous. and joyful. It speaks of joy in the body. Joy in the body. And enthusiastic. Enthusiastic church. Come on. When God took me to these verses, because Clive's touched on the last couple of weeks about being devoted to God. And God said he wanted me to talk about being devoted to one another. It says here, fellowship. And you know what? I don't like that word. I just don't like the word fellowship. Do you like it? It's like fellowship. Do you know what? If someone says it to you, it's like, it just feels, I don't know, it just feels sort of old and religious and that sort of thing. But actually, it's in every version. I looked, so I was trying to find, is there another way of saying this? Is there another way of saying fellowship? And there isn't. Because it means koinonia. It's a specific word for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. Sharing. This is koinonia. Sharing. Okay? Unity. Close association. Partnership. Participation. Participation. Not attendance. Participation. A society. A communion. A fellowship. Can't read that one. Brotherhood. In koinonia, the individual shares in common an intimate bond of fellowship with the rest of the Christian society. Intimacy. Fellowship is supposed to be intimate with the rest of the Christian society, not our best buddy. God's heart for everyone here. He's devoted to every one of you. Every one of us he's devoted to. Okay? He's committed to you. It says, where does it say here? Koinonia cements the believers to the Lord Jesus and to each other. It cements us together, to the believers. And God said to me last night to ask you to do something. He asked me and I've had to say yes, so I'm going to ask you. You up for unfamiliar? Yeah. Up for, you know, something new? Bit, slightly, just a bit, not too much. Can you sit next to somebody now that you don't know? Go find someone you don't know. And I don't want anybody on their own. You there? Quick. Find somebody you don't know. I don't want anybody on their own. God doesn't want anybody on their own in this building this morning. Sit next to somebody if you've never met them before. Okay, you there? How does that feel? You are staying there, okay? So if you haven't got your Bible, grab it quick. Is it a little bit unfamiliar? Is it okay? Are you feeling a bit, oh, I don't know, a bit uncomfortable? Actually, your response to doing that is very telling. Your response to that is very telling of your heart. Just that small act is very telling of your heart before God. Your heart to me, to ask you. And your heart to the person next to you. Because this word cements us to believers. Just ask the person next to you, are you a believer? Yeah. Sorry, I did mean to say to guests, if it's your first time here, you don't have to move from who you come with. Sorry. Don't take offence, please. I should get told off when the blokes come back. Please. Believers cemented together. Not your best friend. Not your best friend. Not the crowd you're comfortable with hanging out with. Not your mate. Believers. Believers together. And here there were 3,000 added in one go. That's like you sitting next to a stranger this morning. Someone new has walked in the door. And you don't know who they are. But they're a believer. They are a believer, and we are supposed to be committed to one another, whether they've got baggage or not, whether they're rich, they're poor, whether they're smelly, whatever. Yeah. What colour we are, whatever. Yeah. We're cemented together. We're intimate. We don't have to be intimate right at this moment. We get to know one another. But this is great, because next week Pastor Clive is talking about life groups. Where we outwork what God says. Okay? Where we outwork fellowship. Sharing and loving and bearing all. Not a reserve. And where's James? Are you all right to just show this? Hang on, let me just explain this. I've just watched Evan Almighty, okay, and I think it's a great film. It's just laugh out loud for me. It's just my sense of humour. But the message in that, Evan Baxter is a congressman who wants to change the world, and he's prayed, God help me change the world. So God comes to him and says, I want you to build an ark. Okay? And this bloke, this poor, poor guy, just has to die in so many ways to do this for God. He eventually gets there. You know, he does it. God starts sending these animals to him, which he's not into at all. And then just watch this. It's very short. It's just 2 seconds. This is his... I love that. I love that. You think he's going to swear, but he doesn't. He says sheep. That's all he says. Sheep. I don't know if you can see his face. Can you see his face? It's a bit... This guy, that's the weirdest response he has in the whole film. He's asked to build the ark. It's the sheep. The sheep. And I have people saying to me, you know, I don't want to be in a life group. They're weird. But, and I say, we are all weird. We are all weird. We all needed saving. We are all weird. None of us has got it sorted. None of us is perfect. But it was interesting. That was the most outlandish, I think, response he had that I can remember, but maybe laugh the most, is he said, I want to change the world. And God asked him to do something, which he does. And it's like us. We're like, yes, God, send revival. I want to change the world. And he sends us sheep. We are sheep. Pastor Clive said it. He is the shepherd of the flock. We are the sheep. And we can have that response like he did. Sheep. We can, let's be honest. I've heard it. I've said it. And just the look of horror on his face. He's got terror in the back of his car. God sends us. If we ask to change the world, he will send us sheep that needs changing. We're all sheep. And sheep are really weird looking, aren't they? You can't see them in that. But they are very weird looking. Very strange. It would be a bit bizarre to find them back of your car because you just wouldn't know what they're going to do. But people are like that. The people that God sends us, we don't know what they're going to do. They're bleat all the time. Is this all right? Yeah. Devotion to God is devotion to people.
That's it. That's it.
Jesus said, what you do to the least of me. Yes. Yes. What you do to the least of them, you do to me. Yes. What we do to the sheep he brings us, we do to him. Yes. Yes. We do to him. In Acts 2, it's talking about sharing in the Lord's Supper, which is communion. And he said they did it daily. They were having communion in their homes with one another. And, you know, it's not just, you know, Jesus told them to do it. He told them to have communion, to remember him, to share their hearts and their lives, bearing all sins, the lot. To have communion, to confess our sins and be open before one another. His confession, his cleansing. It's being real. Being real with people. Bearing all, walking in the light with one another, which is a massive challenge. It brings up all kinds of stuff. Even now, if you're sitting next to somebody, it could be bringing up all kinds of things. You know, fear. I don't know. I don't want to sit next to that person. It's a bloke or whatever. I don't know. But it's reality, isn't it? We have issues. And they come up, but God doesn't want them suppressed. He doesn't want things hidden. He wants stuff out in the open. Because why would he bring us 3,000 people all of a sudden with their baggage? We believe that they quickly get rid of their baggage, but you know what I mean. There's a reality. Why would he send us those? How can they get clean? How can they get free? How can they come in and take communion with us and bear all if we're not bearing all? If we don't give them that environment to be real in. If they think they're going to be judged because we're judging one another. And this... It demands a trust in us, to trust that we could bear all and that we're not going to be rejected. To trust that we can share what's really going on in us and not be judged, be looked upon. That we can trust one another with our hearts and with our lives. God wants us to be operating, I believe, at this level, at this depth, for him to bring people in. That we will love, that we will serve, that we will look after. That we're not just attending a service once a week. God really challenged me in the night. It was the night or early hours, I don't know, whenever he got me up this morning. And to a certain extent, I would say I'm devoted to the Lord and to others. And we had a leadership meeting on Tuesday. We spent an hour talking about why people come in 10, 15 minutes late. It was like, talk about losing the will to live. It was like an hour in a leadership meeting about why people come in 10, 15 minutes late in the morning. And it was like, actually, if we're all devoted to God and one another, that will lessen. That will lessen because it has an effect. But, you know, a girl was talking to me. You know, I just want to honour, you know, all of you that drive a long way to get here on a Sunday morning. You know, you've got a long way to, if you've got a long way to come, or you've got to get your kids here and you make it on time. Well, if you make it. Because the Lord said to me, I mean, I live a minute away and I drive. And I make it here on time, okay? That's not devotion. God said to me, he said, if your church was closed down because of persecution and you had to go underground and you had to meet whenever and wherever, so we wouldn't have this nice warm building to walk into, say 4 o'clock in the morning we all met in the woods or something. I don't know if I'd make it. But that's what people do. In this world, there are people devoted to God, devoted to one another, that do that. They will lay down their lives. I don't like getting out of my bed in the morning in a warm room to pray. There are people who lay down their lives to meet with God and to meet with one another. And God, I was so challenged because I'm not there. I'm not there, but God wants to do it. Who knows what's going to happen in this nation? I don't know. But is my heart, am I prepared to be devoted? Devoted to Him. Not what I call devotion, what He calls devotion. Not what I call commitment or love or desire. It's what He calls. What He wants to do in us. Because when you read these verses, there is such a power and an anointing that is operating. For people to be added daily, there is such an anointing, such a power. The apostles and prophets, not just from them, from the whole body. Stephen went out operating in the same anointing. The guys were seeing miracles because it was a body at work, a body devoted to one another. And the power that that enabled to go out to change lives around them. You know, it talks about confessing to God and confessing to one another. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. You know, if you take communion and you're like, God, I just, you know, the blood, we drink the cup. And Lord, it cleanses us from our sin. And to do that in a group where we confess our sins to one another. Pray for each other, it says, so that you may be healed. Yeah. Helen and I were in Hull at the weekend. Last weekend at Jared Cooper's church doing conference. And God has done an amazing, awesome work in Helena, Pastor Helena. And she shared a word on shame on the Saturday night. And so many women responded. And God did a powerful, powerful work because He lifted the lid on hidden things. Hidden things. Things that have been hidden for a long time. They hadn't told anybody. And He lifted the lid. And they responded, publicly responded. There was some awesome, there were some terrible things that had gone on. But there was awesome sense of God's presence and power to set these women free. Okay, because, and they came forward and they confessed what had gone on. Okay, whether it's something they'd been into themselves, whether it had been done to them or something they'd done, they confessed. But the power to heal them and set them free. And our healing can so often be linked to something being uncovered in our lives. Healing physically, emotionally, mentally, when we take the lid off. The earnest prayer of a righteous person, someone who's made right, has great power and wonderful results. And they saw amazing things happening because of where they were at as a body, what God was doing amongst them, that depth of trust and healing. Amen. This is interesting. Anyone who says, I am in the light, because that's what God wants to do, is pour His light in to us. You know, when in Matthew 14, it talks about us being the light of the world. He calls us the light of the world. We carry His light in us. And He says, don't hide it. But we can hide our light. We can choose to hide it. But God says, arise, shine. Amen. Let your light shine. Darkness covers the nations. The nation, this nation is in darkness. In darkness, so much darkness. We are the light. And for this light that we have to really shine, to really make a difference, has got to so shine in us. So shine in us. And we cannot hide it. We have to be like this with our lives. We have to be like this for the light to shine out of us. It's not what we say. It's the light, He says, that will be seen. He will be seen. It says here, anyone who says, I'm in the light, but rejects another Christian, is still in darkness. if you are like this with other Christians, if you won't let them near you, if you reject them or push them away, there's darkness in your heart. We need to be able to be like this, vulnerable and open with those God puts us with. God puts us with. For the light to be seen in this nation. For his light is the only thing that's going to change this nation. It is in darkness. So dark. But we have the light. We have the light. And God says, arise, shine. Your light has come. It's in you. Let it shine. And anything hidden, and I believe over the next few weeks, Pastor Clive and I have been talking about what God wants to do in this body. And I know Pastor Helena and Pastor Gary are carrying the dynamics of the reality of this word to be released here. If we'll be willing to respond to what God wants to do. If we'll say, okay, God, it's not my life. I've died. Use me. Are we up for it? Okay. Let me just read Job 11 to you. It's a word that Clive brought a couple of weeks ago about being devoted. If you would devote your heart and lift up your hands to him in prayer. Get rid of your sins and leave all iniquity behind you. Then your face will brighten in innocence. You'll be strong and free of fear. And God wants his body in this nation to be strong and free of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. If you have fear in here, if you have fear in your life group, when someone touches you, God wants you to be free of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. For him to do a work of his love in our midst. That will embrace others. That will welcome others. You will forget your misery. It will all be gone like water under the bridge. Amen. Your life will be brighter than the noonday. You will have courage because you will have hope. You'll be protected and will rest in safety. You'll lie down unafraid. To be at peace. You know, for us to be at peace and unafraid, free of fear. Amen. It's a powerful work of God. Yes. When we are, it has such an effect on people around us because they are so bound up in fear. And people are not at peace. They don't sleep. They don't sleep at night. Nothing hidden. Arise, shine. And this light that it talks about in the Amplified Bible is your moral excellence. Moral excellence. And you alone know if you're morally excellent. It's a tall order, but that's what God wants. Moral excellence for morality to come back into this nation. Your moral excellence will be seen. So if there isn't moral excellence in your life, God wants you to deal with it. He wants it confessed. You know, there's power not just in confessing to God. And I can talk about this because I have to do this week, okay? This is my building an ark. This is my scary, okay, God, I'll do this. When I got saved, I had what I call a thorough conversion, you know. I just went through everything and asked God to deal with it, to forgive me. Everything that came to mind, everything that either I had done, chosen to do, or been done to me, it was sorted, okay? And yes, it takes time for God to change you as a person because of the things that have gone on in your life. But I knew, I know it was forgiven. But there are things that I did post-salvation date, if you like, since I've been saved, that I'm not proud of. And I confessed them to God, and I knew he'd forgiven me, but it was still an issue. I was like, if anybody knows about it, there's no way I could tell somebody about this. And if that's what you're thinking, it needs to come out. If you are like, if you are saying, I cannot tell anybody this, I cannot share this, it needs to be shared. Because you're keeping it hidden. You're keeping it hidden. And it hurts. It hurts. So this week, God said to me, because I didn't want anything hidden in my life. I didn't want anything, I didn't want any shame going on. You know, where I know I was forgiven by God, but the enemy could still have a go at me because it was hidden. And so I got with Helena, who I trust and I love, and I know she loves me. And I shared some things that I was ashamed of, that I had done since getting saved, if you like. And I mean, praise God, it was just like, afterwards there was such a freedom, such a feeling of, it's gone. I'm clean. I'm clean. Okay, maybe this is only me. Maybe this is only me. I'm the only sinner here. Saved sinner. But if there's stuff hidden, if there's darkness in there, it will affect our light before others. It's the way God operates. He wants righteousness and justice established in this nation, and that comes through people who are in right standing with Him and with one another, where we are just and fair and loving and forgiving, not judging one another. Let me just read these verses to you. Now, these are powerful because I know Pastor Clive was talking last week. I watched last night. I watched what he spoke on last week. And he's talking about prayer not being heard for our many words. And I really, really believe that God wants to give us specific things to decree over lives, over this nation, and God will move. It's not our many words, but it's the authority that we deliver those words. And if we're free, we can declare freedom. It's we're deceiving ourselves if we think we want to see all this happen in other people's lives. And we're not free. We're not clean. Job 22, I've had these scriptures for a long time. That God gave me, praying over myself and the church. Job 22, verse 23. If you return to the Almighty and clean up your life. And you know, it may not be serious things. You know, it might just be anything He puts His finger on. Anything God puts His finger on. If you look in Revelation, where God addresses the churches, it's pretty scary, actually. But He commends them for all the good they're doing. And He says, but if you don't overcome in this area, I'll spit you out of my mouth. It's serious reading. I recommend you go there. I don't want to scare you. Is this all right? But this is what God's is doing. Personally, if He puts His finger on an area, you may think it doesn't bother anybody else, but it bothers God because He knows it bothers other people. Okay, clean up your life. Give up your lusts. It says here money, but it could be anything. Anything you lust after. And there's, you know, it's high statistics. There's a high statistic. People in this church are bound up in lust to pornography. It's reality. But let's bring it out in the open. Let's get it dealt with. Yes. Let's confess our sins to somebody we trust and get cleaned up. Amen. Amen. Give up your lusts. Then the Almighty Himself will be your treasure. He will be your precious silver. Then you will delight yourself in the Almighty and look up to God. You can lift your head. Amen. You can lift your head when you're free, when you're clean. You will pray to Him and He will hear you. This is an amazing promise. And you will fulfill your vows to Him. There's no more struggling or striving with God. there's an ease to obedience when you get yourself sorted with him. He says, whatever you decide to do will be accomplished. That's amazing. Whatever you decide to do will be accomplished. This is a promise for his church, the church, us in this nation. Whatever we decide to do will be accomplished. And light will shine on the road ahead of you. Light will shine on the road ahead of you. If someone is brought low, that could be somebody around you, somebody God brings to you. If somebody is brought low and you say, help him up, God will save the downcast. Even sinners will be rescued by your hands. We only have to say, help him up, God. And he does. He will do it. But it's from that place of purity. It's from that place of openness with God, that authority that we release because of what he has done in us. When we allow him to work in our lives, when we say, God, you're in control, you are Lord, you're in authority over me, I submit to you, do whatever you need to do in me, then we can operate in a place of authority. We can rule and reign in this nation from the Spirit, from the light that is within us. We have authority in our words. God, help him up. We don't have to pray for hours. God, lift him up. And God promises to do it. And he says, by your clean and pure hands, sinners will be saved. This is a good word. Thank you, Jesus. His ways aren't our ways. His ways aren't our ways. In fact, they're easier. You know, if we just do it, like he's to me, if I repent, if I confess my sins, like I did, he will do it. He will do it. And it hurt. It costs us everything to do that. But there is freedom and there is life and there is fruit. And that's what we want to see, fruit. Fruit that remains. Fruit that remains. Isaiah 49, another word about speaking. Isaiah 49 verse 8, promises of restoration. Okay, at just the right time, I will respond to you. On the day of salvation, I will help you. Okay, verse 9, through you, I am saying to the prisoners of darkness, come out. I am giving you your freedom. Through you and I, we speak to those in darkness, come out. And this is how I've been praying. This is how God has led me to pray. It's as simple as this. Come out of darkness. Come into your freedom. He died to give you 2,000 years ago. Come into it today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. He says, I help you on that day. And we say, come out. We speak. We decree it. We decree a thing and God does it. Decree. Come out of darkness. We can only do that when there's no darkness in us. When there's nothing hidden. When there's nothing hidden in us. When there's no ounce of darkness. We're not perfect all the time. God's not asking us to be perfect before he uses us. But there is a depth of relationship with him and with one another that he wants us to operate in. The reality where if you're struggling with darkness, you can just be free to share and it's forgiven, forgotten, and then you can move in authority in your own life, over your own life and circumstances, and then others. And then others. We have to master it. When we're free, when we're right, when we're operating justly with one another, righteousness and justice established. And lives around us change. And Acts 4, it talks about prosperity. They were all prospering. Actually, there's a verse here that I wrote down that I hadn't seen before. Where is it? People who cover over their sins will not prosper. And Acts 4 talks about a body where there was no poverty. That is linked. It's so linked. No poverty. Everyone shared their hearts and their belongings. You'll only be open to sharing your home and your belongings when you've got your heart open. And, you know, it's a reality for, you know, Clive and I. You know, I can say, God, you know, I want revival and I want you to change the world and blah, 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 blah. And then he brings somebody to live in my home. And says, okay, there you go. It's okay, here we go. If we're praying that prayer, he will bring. He'll bring them, he'll bring sheep. We want to see a nation changed. He'll bring someone that needs changing. And first and foremost, it'll be somebody in this body who you'll say yes to. You'll say yes to. He won't bring you. He probably won't bring you someone else until you can do it here. Otherwise, it's just unreality. It's deception. We can, you know, deceive ourselves that we're doing something or being somebody that we're not. And it's hard. It is hard. We don't get it right. We blow it. I blow it with the people he brings to me. That's probably why he keeps bringing more. that he will. He'll bring them into our lives. And say, go on then. Go on then. Love this one. Prosper. Prospering, sharing our lives and our finances. You know, I loved it at the end where it says, they brought people who had wealth, who had, you know, Barnabas sold a field and brought the money to the apostles' feet for them to give to those in need. And there's a trust there to give finances to the apostles, to where they think it needs to go. And, you know, if anybody here, if you're not tithing or giving into this body, there's need in this body. We have needs and they're going to grow. So ask the Lord. He will want you to give to this body. Because this is where the rubber hits the road. Trust your you know, apostle, trust your leaders. Bring your money and say, okay, this is where it's need. Where does it need to go? And trust them. Trust us with it, that it will go to where it's needed. Amen. So there's no poverty. We can help those in need. We have more and more and more and more coming to us in need. They will come. And God wants what's here, the wealth that's here, for them to be blessed. Amen. Is it good? Is it all right? God is devoted. Who is God devoted to? I don't want to go on much longer. But who is God devoted to? Who is on God's agenda? It's us. He loves us. He wants us to be devoted to one another. And his heart is for the oppressed. His heart is for the poor. His heart is for children abused. His heart is for the unborn, the downtrodden. And he wants us to take up these causes, take up these people in our hearts and not reject them, but be devoted to them. King Lemuel in Proverbs 31, Lemuel means devoted, and I was reading through this. And it talks there about the king speaking out on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves, taking up the cause of the needy, of the outcast, of the destitute, taking up their cause. So often in the word, it's kings and leaders. He says, take up their cause. Speak out for them. That's where we devote. That's who he's devoted to and where he wants us devoted, our hearts devoted to them. And it says in the Promised Bible that King Lemuel is described as being a warrior advocate. A warrior advocate fighting on behalf of those who can't fight for themselves. Fighting for those in this nation who are downtrodden, who are outcasts, who are abused, who are still unborn. Fighting for them in the spirit and fighting for them practically. He will send us. He will send us or bring people to us that he wants us to fight for. But we can only be an advocate like Jesus. You know, he's our advocate. He took our place. And we can only be that warrior advocate when he's done that work in us. He's done that heart work. We can stand in their place, if you like, before God, forgiven and cleansed, and fight on their behalf. People are not an inconvenience on the way to where we're going. Like with the Good Samaritan story, and the guys that skirted around the guy who'd been beaten up was in the ditch. People that God brings us, people that he brings us, are not an inconvenience to where we're going. They are his heart. He's devoted to them. He's devoted to them. And it's us seeing them through his eyes. I want to finish with this. An area that God is devoted to that challenges our opinions, our perceptions, if you like. And that's his people, Israel. I'm going to quickly read some scriptures to you. Ezekiel 36, verse 22. And all kinds of things are kicking off over there. There are Palestinians being killed and there are Jews being killed. It's all horrible. People being hurt, both sides. And we can have opinions on the way Israel treat the Palestinians. We can have opinions either side, but what is God up to, if you like? What does he say? What does he say in his word? I heard something the other day, and I haven't studied it enough to know, but when God says in Jeremiah 32, verse 41, I think it is, it's the one time where God says he does something with all his heart and with all his soul. Okay? And this is restoring the people back to their land. He says in his word, I do this with all my heart, with all my soul. Yeah. And when I heard it, someone said he doesn't say that anywhere else, and I haven't studied it to know whether that's true or not. God is devoted to Israel. He is devoted to bringing the people back to the land. I'll just read these verses to you. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the Sovereign Lord. I'm bringing you back again. That's the Jews all over this earth are going home. But not because you deserve it. I'm only doing it to protect my holy name, which you dishonoured when you were scattered among the nations. God says, the nations will know that I am the Lord, for I will gather you up from the nations and bring you home again to your land. Chapter 37, verse 11. Verse 12. Sovereign Lord gives this message. O my people, I will open up your graves of exile and cause you to rise again, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens on my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live and return home to your own land. You will know that I am the Lord, the God. You will see that I have done everything just as I promised. I, the Lord, have spoken. God is on the move. God is on the move in this earth. Let me just read this, Isaiah 60, verse 4. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your hearts will thrill with joy. For merchants from around the world will come to you. Verse 8. And what do I see flying like clouds to Israel, like doves to their nests? They are the ships of Tarshish reserved to bring the people of Israel home. They will bring their wealth with them, and it will bring great honour to the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he will fill you with splendour. Foreigners will come to rebuild your cities. kings and rulers will send you aid. For though I have destroyed you in my anger, I will have mercy on you through my grace. And, you know, when God is devoted to somebody, it's not our opinion that matters. It's what he says. It's his word. It's the desire of his heart. And he wants the church in this nation to have the right understanding of what he's doing. Not just our opinion, but what is God doing? He is devoted to bringing them home. It talks of planes. Isaiah saw planes 2,500 years ago. Ships like clouds in the sky. He saw it. And we see the fulfillment today. My kids are so excited because they're going over there. But as a family, we help support an organisation that gets the kids, the orphans out of Europe, Eastern Europe, back to Israel. And the kids are so excited. It says there. What do I see? Flying like clouds, bringing them home. He is doing it today before our eyes. He's faithful. He is faithful to promises 2,500 years old. We see it before our very eyes. Amen. And he wants us to see what he's doing. And he says, but it's out of his grace and mercy. And if he's restoring Israel, even though it doesn't look like it, all hell is going to break loose over Israel. So what the word says is going to happen. But the church needs to have the right mind, what God says, have the right response. He's out of his grace and mercy. And if he's moving there out of his grace and mercy, he wants to move here out of his grace and mercy. Not because we deserve it, not because this nation deserves it, but because we can cry out to him for it. It's his heart. It's his heart. We stand. Right, guys, do you want to come up on stage, a band, and we will finish. I want us to finish with a right roaring, don't know, rip, seek, splitting song. That God is almighty. God is almighty. We put him in his place, in his rightful place. We want to pray first. Is that okay?
Yeah.
We're going to respond to the word. Are we devoted to the word still this morning? Are we still devoted to the teaching this morning?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's stand, arms outstretched, please, to the Lord. Heads lifted. Lord, respond. Respond yourself to the word this morning. Respond to the Lord this morning, to his heart for people, to his heart for those next to you, that believer that you don't know, but that you're cemented to. Lord Jesus, a response, Lord, to you. Your will be done. Your will be done. Not mine. Not mine. Your will. Your ways. Not my ways. Your ways. Your plans and purpose for your bride. Your plans and purpose. Your direction over unfamiliar ground. Lord, if it feels painful, I'll go there. I'll go there. If it feels painful, I'll go there. Come on, this is your response, not just mine. God, whatever it costs, your heart to be shared for a body, this body, Lord, to be everything you call it to be, call it to do, whoever you call us to reach. Lord, we say bring them. Lord, we say bring them. But right now, you alone can make a decision for God that you will open up your heart and your life to those he puts you with. that you will not keep anything hidden. Any darkness where the enemy can have a field day in your life, bring it before the Lord. And if you know you need to bring it to another person, find someone you trust and that you love, you know loves you, and get it out in the open. Lord, we ask that your light will shine in this body, Lord. That this body will be set on a hill for the nation to see, Lord. That your light, Lord, will be seen. That you will be seen and you will be glorified, Lord, in this nation through your body. Lord, come and do it in us. Do it, Lord. Reality check. God in our lives. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You don't treat any of us as we deserve, as our sins deserve. You don't treat us like that. But out of your grace and your mercy, which is so powerful. Your grace and your mercy extended to each one of us is so powerful. Lord, we would move in grace and mercy to one another here. Lord, we would move in grace and mercy to those you bring us. To those you put on our hearts. Your cause, Lord. Your cause. And Lord, we submit to your will. We submit to your will, to your leading. Lord, we submit to your word over Israel. As a church, Lord, we submit to your will, not our opinions. Your word that's living and active and you watch over it to see it perform. Lord, we submit. We don't always understand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we be devoted to one another. Devoted to you. Such a depth, Lord, of your work, of your spirit. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the fruit that's going to come, Lord, of what you do in us, in your body. Lord, we thank you for the fruit. We thank you for thousands, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you will be seen. And your light will rise in this nation and penetrate the darkness. We'll penetrate it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.